We're now reading through the fourth book in the Torah, Bamidbar, the book of Numbers. And it's really amazing. I was thinking, it's really amazing how quickly this year is going by. Just one more book in the Torah, and we'll be starting all over again in Bereshit on October the 22nd is when we'll be getting back into Deuteronomy. It may seem like a long ways off, but it's going to come very quickly. And so it's really amazing how quickly we're going this year. The time just seems to be marching on, right? But you know, there are several valuable lessons. I believe we can benefit from reading through Numbers. It really addresses the power of the blessing and the curse, this account of Balak. It also talks about the power of intercession. You know, the consequences of complaining and not submitting to authority. Talks about tithing and the offerings, the bronze serpent, making unwise vows. But Numbers is a book of wanderings, and it describes Israel's experience as they wandered in the wilderness. And one of the key lessons is that while it may be at times necessary to pass through the wilderness experience in our lives, we don't want to live there. We don't want to live in that wilderness. We need to learn what we can and then move on, right? For Israel, an 11-day journey became 40 years of agony and suffering because of all of their fear, their unbelief, their disobedience. You know, so many of God's people today, for whatever reason, wander in the wilderness, struggling through life, never being able to take hold of God's promises, not being able to walk in victory and the power of the Spirit. We've come out of Shavuot. God wants us to be filled and empowered with the Spirit so we can walk in victory, so that we can overcome fear and unbelief, and so we don't complain and disobey the very sins that Israel was guilty of. But as New Covenant believers, it's called quenching and grieving the Spirit, which I'm going to address in my message a little bit later. But the book of Numbers describes many of the issues in life that we struggle with. Grumbling and complaining was one of the major sins that Israel experienced. They never seemed to overcome that. At least that first generation never seemed to overcome the attitude of grumbling and complaining. They battled with fear and unbelief and rebellion against authority. And it really prevented them from entering into the promised land. They never entered into God's promise. So my Torah reading for today was Numbers 11, 1-6. And it's really the yearly reminder of not grumbling or complaining. This, you know, these next two Torah portions really talk about authority, grumbling and complaining and so forth. And so it's a yearly reminder, not that we need to be yearly reminded of not complaining, but, you know, the Torah addresses the important issues that we all of time struggle with. Of course, we're never guilty of grumbling or complaining, right? No. It's been said that when you're not patient, you start complaining. The fact that you're complaining is a sign that you're not grateful. Another saying is, if you have an attitude of gratitude, you'll have more to be thankful for and grateful for. But if you have an attitude of complaining, you'll always find something to complain about. But the scripture is saying, everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, in everything give thanks, because we know that as believers, God can cause all things to work together for our good. And so even though we're going through a very difficult time, a very difficult circumstance, and we may be grumbling and complaining about it, just realize that God, we serve a great God, and He can cause everything in our life to work together for our good if we have faith to believe. Moses was battling this attitude of grumbling and complaining in the camp of Israel. And he was becoming so discouraged and disheartened that he wanted to die. He says in Numbers 11:11, he says, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servants? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin." So God was pleased with Moses. And he did find favor. You know, God did put his favor on Moses. That's why he chose him. Even when Moses didn't even think that he was qualified to take Israel out of Egypt. But he was only a human. And Moses was complaining, but he had good reason to complain. Who wants to live in an atmosphere of constant grumbling and complaining? It wears you down. But you know, Adonai himself was angry because of their attitude. It tells us in verse 1, which I read in my Torah portion, "Now when the people complained about their hardship, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. But when the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and fire died down." That's what was so amazing about Moses. Moses repeatedly had to intercede for his people when they got himself in trouble. He was an amazing shepherd. Imagine, who cared for the flock. Imagine, you know, taking care of 1 to 2 million people. I mean, that's no small task. And I'm really looking forward to meeting Moses when I see him in heaven. It's going to be a great experience. The greatest shepherd other than Yeshua. But you know, those who have a discontent heart, who are dissatisfied and negative, will always find something to quarrel and whine about. A complaining heart is displeasing to God because it demonstrates distrust and lack of faith. You know, Israel's memory of all they witnessed in Egypt was short-lived. They were suffering from temporary amnesia. Because of their circumstances. You know, even though they were grateful for being delivered from Egypt and from bondage, you know, as they were thankful for that, but it only took a few short days in the wilderness before the whining, the grumbling, and the complaining began. You know, wilderness living was no walk in the park. And they were homeless. They had to face intense heat and cold. It was very uncomfortable. Some of them had to leave. They had to leave Egypt in haste, and so perhaps many of them didn't even have a tent to sleep in. There was lack of food and water, and the basic necessities of life. And I'm sure that if we were there at that time, we would also be complaining. If we were in their situation, because that was a pretty difficult experience to be walking in the wilderness. You know, but was Adonai going to go to all the trouble of delivering his people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, demonstrating his signs and wonders and his miracles, and then let them die in the wilderness? Was that God's plan? They had to learn some hard lessons in getting to know their God and how to trust in him to meet their needs. God had to refine them. He had to purge out the flesh in their lives, the slave mentality they were accustomed to. But, you know, they were a mixed multitude. There were many Egyptians that came out of Egypt, many perhaps some others who were not even Egyptian. There was a foreign multitude that also came out. And they joined Israel together when they came out of Egypt. And they were the first ones to complain. They began to complain and crave about the good things they ate in Egypt. It says in verse 5 of Numbers 11, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt and the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now we have not lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." So they're getting sick and tired of eating manna every day. So they kept wailing and wailing, "We want to eat meat, meat, meat." And this attitude spread to the whole camp of Israel. And so the Israelites also began to grumble and complain as well. And it caused a lot of discord and division among the people. So much so that it stirred up God's anger. And he sent fire on the outskirts of the camp, and some of them died. See, murmuring and complaining breeds discontent or discord and division. And it really undermines the unity in a community. This is when Moses began to break and feel the burden of caring for the needs of these people. Moses cried out to the Lord, "Where can I get meat for all these people?" The main cause of their murmuring was the growing discontent with the manna, which the Lord was providing for them when they came out of Egypt. And they were getting sick and tired of eating this manna. And so, isn't there something else that we can eat? And so they cried out, "Only we had meat to eat." And so Moses said, "The Lord has heard your whining when you cried. We are better off in Egypt." The Lord said, if they want meat to eat, this is the Lord speaking, if they want meat to eat, I won't give it to you for just 1 or 2 days, but for an entire month, until you gag and are sick from eating it. For you have rejected the Lord. And it tells us, let's just turn to Numbers 11, 21 to 23. Numbers 11. And Moses said, he said to the Lord, "Here I am among 600,000 men on foot. And this does not even count all the women and the children. And you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?" And the Lord answered Moses, "Is the Lord's arm too short? You will see whether or not what I say will come true." Imagine the middle of the wilderness. And then it goes on to say in verse 31, "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and drove quail in from the sea. It brought them down all around the camp to about 3 feet above the ground, as far as a day's walk in any direction. And all that day and night, and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people. He struck them with a severe plague. And therefore the place was named Kibroth Hattaavarah, because there they buried the people who craved other food." See, grumbling and complaining has always been a root problem with man. You know, someone once said, "The Lord created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and on the eighth day he began to hear complaints." It was Adam and Eve who first complained after they sinned. I'm not sure if it was on the eighth day. I'm sure it was probably longer than the eighth day. But Adam said, "This woman that you gave me, she gave me fruit from the tree and I ate it." And Eve said, "Well, it wasn't my fault. The serpent deceived me and I ate. The devil made me do it." The proverbial blame game. The blame game, right? Rather than taking personal responsibility, we try to put the blame on someone else. Let me just share a little bit of humor here to wake you up. A dentist patient... was grumbling about the fee, $250 for pulling out a tooth. She exclaimed, "It's only a minute's work." "Well, if you wish," the dentist said, "I can take it out slowly." I know Kim's dad's husband is a dentist there. But there's a story of the grumbling motorist. He said, "What am I supposed to do with this?" And he grumbled the motorist as the police clerk handed him a receipt for his traffic ticket. "Keep it," the clerk said. "When you get 4 of them, you get to ride a bicycle." Well, you know, we don't talk about gas prices. You think gas prices are expensive? Have you seen chimneys? They're going through the roof. You know, I had to stop at the gas station to fill my tires. They raised the price to $1.50. I just can't believe the cost of inflation these days. This last one I think is a good one. There was a monk who joined a monastery. He took a vow of silence. After the first 10 years, his superior called him and asked, "Do you have anything to say?" And the monk replied, "Food's bad." After another 10 years, the monk again had opportunity to voice his thoughts.
He said, bed hard. Another 10 years went by, and again he was called to be in before his superior. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, I quit. He said, this doesn't surprise me a bit. You've done nothing but complain ever since you got here. I mean, 2 complaints in 30 years is not so bad. But you see, man is born with a sinful and selfish nature that is prone to grumble and complain. You know, the attitude of complaining is known by different names. Griping, whining, bellyaching, whispering. In Yiddish, it's called kvetching. But the Bible uses the term murmuring. Regardless of how we describe it, complaining always has the same symptoms. It's an expression of ungratefulness, dissatisfaction, and discontent. And complaining is the outward expression of discontent from within. And a complaining spirit leads to fighting and quarreling because complaints come from unfulfilled desires, which lead to envy and strife. We know how uncomfortable it is to be around people who complain and whine. And I must admit, I've been guilty of this at times. Sometimes John will say to me, quit being such a Weinberg and start being a Goldberg, right? I've shared that before. But an expression of complaint is not always a bad thing. In Acts chapter 6, the Grecian widows had a complaint. They were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And it was appropriate for them to express their concern. And their complaint was justified, and the problem was corrected. And they appointed 7 men full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit to serve tables and meet these needs. You don't have to be spirit-filled and full of wisdom to serve tables. I'm getting there in a moment. I'll be there in a minute. The result was that the Messianic community flourished because they addressed a problem in their community. So when we think about Beth Shekinah, how often do we hear people in our congregation complain? The services are too long. The Torah service is boring. The rabbi preaches too long, too fast, not loud enough. John always says, I speak too fast. I have so much to say, I have to try to pack it in, right? But there's only a few people who come to our pre-service prayer. Now, that's a valid complaint. We really encourage people to come for pre-service prayer. If we really want to see God move in our congregation and in our service, we really know that it's really a result of prayer. But, you know, there's not enough food at the Oneg. And not enough people to help in the Oneg. So we need people to help serve tables, just as they did in Acts chapter 6. But you know, discontent and complaining can cause discord in a body and destroy the unity in a community. But it can also express frustration in a congregation. If people are not doing their part, Moses, if people are not doing their part, Moses was feeling so discouraged and frustrated listening to all the murmuring and the complaining. He wanted to throw in the towel. And he pleaded with God, and God knew, you know, how hard this was for Moses. So what was God's solution? The Lord understood the burden that Moses was carrying. And so he needed others to come alongside to help carry the burden. So it tells us in Numbers 11, verse 16 and 17, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. And I'll take the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. And they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. So Moses brought 70 elders and had them stand around the tent. The Lord came down in a cloud, and spoke with them. And he took the spirit that was on Moses, and he put the spirit on the 70, and they prophesied. And they helped to take a tremendous burden off of Moses. But, you know, his troubles were still not over. Even though this was a big help for Moses. He had to face an insurrection from his own brother and sister. And then a rebellion by Korah and his followers. But that's for another message. So Moses really had a lot of challenges when he was leading this unruly congregation out of Egypt. You know, as a Messianic community, we all have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. The Lord has called us to help carry the burden in His body. And this means in our own congregation. And I really do appreciate everyone who is faithful in serving with willing heart. I really appreciate everyone who is so faithful in serving. But there's still room for many others to step up and help run with His vision and carry the load. In Romans chapter 12, if we turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. It says in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Messiah, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So God has given each one of us gifts and talents. And He wants each one of us to use that within the body. And I'm sure that we all want to please the Lord. Because He has done so much in our lives. There's so much for us to be grateful for and thankful for. And when we're serving God and doing our part and using our gifts and talents, there's less likelihood that we will complain. Because when you're involved and you're involved in helping to be part of a vision, helping to build the kingdom of God, you feel like your life is making a difference. God really wants us to have a part in building His kingdom. It says in Colossians 3, whatever you do, do you work heartily as unto the Lord rather than from man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. We will receive a reward in our inheritance, you know, for how we serve on this in this life. Because it's Lord Messiah whom we are serving. We always have to keep in mind, we're not here to be pleased. We're not man pleasers, we're God pleasers. And God wants us to please God. And we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment we say at every Shabbat, the Haftah. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. And then we're to love our neighbor as ourself. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets. You know, complaining affects our witness. Why would anyone be attracted to a community of believers who are dissatisfied with their life, who grumble and complain, who are critical of each other? We're supposed to be the happiest people in the world. How many of God's people are dissatisfied and unhappy and negative and critical of others? So we need to watch out for the joy stealers, those who gossip and criticize, who find a fault, who we are negative and judgmental. This is not the kind of environment that God wants the Holy Spirit to operate, because it grieves the Holy Spirit. It quenches the Spirit. And then we wonder why the Spirit of God does not move with greater freedom in our congregation and among us. We need to really check our hearts. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless, innocent children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast the word of life, so on the day of Messiah, I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, when we complain, it's really an accusation against the Lord. At least that's what the Lord said to the children of Israel. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And Moses said, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. E.M. Bounds once said, gratitude and murmuring cannot abide in the same heart at the same time. You can't be thankful and complain at the same time. Having a thankful heart will prevent the enemy from overcoming you with discouragement. You know, so I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about how God dealt with the children of Israel in Egypt, and they faced some serious consequences because they did not want to enter into the promised land because of fear and unbelief. They ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And the very children that they said would not enter in were the very ones that entered in. And they ended up dying. The whole first generation died in the wilderness other than Joshua and Caleb and the next generation. And so in 1 Corinthians 10 that Saeed read, let me just read a portion from it again, because Paul said this is an example for us. This is intended to be an example for us, that we would not fall into the same struggles as they did. Now, these things occurred as examples, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit a sexual immorality, as some of them did. And one day, 23,000 of them died. That's the upcoming Torah portion on Balak. We should not, then also we should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes or serpents. Do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. See, we need to, if we have a problem with growing and grumbling and complaining, we need to repent. I repent a lot when I grumble and complain. We need to ask God to forgive us and to fill us with His Spirit, and so that we can learn to be thankful in all things. I just want to just close with a scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And Paul is giving some final instructions to the congregation of Thessalonica. And this is what he said, and it's a word for us as well. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you, Messiah Yeshua. Do not quench the Spirit. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God Himself, the God of peace, who sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Because the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. So that's God's promise. So these are words that we need to, to bury in our hearts and to let God to really allow us to really learn to be a lot more thankful. So God, we thank you, God, for your word today. Lord, we know that as we are reminded of what the children of Israel and how much they suffered in the wilderness, Lord God, because they're grumbling and complaining, but Lord, I'm sure that many of us would also be in the same situation. But Lord God, we pray that you would help us to look to you, God, for our wisdom and our understanding. Lord, forgive us when we grumble and complain. Father, forgive us when we are critical and negative of others. Lord God, help us to love one another even as you loved us and gave yourself for us. Lord, help us to be a congregation that walks in unity, where we do not grumble and complain. And Lord, if there are areas in our lives that we need to deal with, that we would deal with those areas. Lord, help us to understand that you've given each one of us giftings and talents. Lord, help us to be willing to step forward and to say, I want to serve. I want to do my part in helping to build up the kingdom of God. And so we just thank you, God, for your love for us. And we pray, God, for your Holy Spirit to work in each one of our lives. Help us, God, to really be a congregation that truly walks in unity and love one for another. That we be patient with one another, that we not be negative or critical. Lord, we not be quick to find faults. But we would encourage each other and build up one another, because, Lord, that's what a body does. It encourages and builds up one another. Lord, there are many among us who are hurting and struggling. Lord God, help us to be sensitive to the needs that are among us, and help us to pray for them and to encourage them and do what we can to reach out to them. Thank you, God, for all those who are in our congregation who are so faithful week after week after week. Lord, they're so faithful. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless us and help us to grow together as a congregation, that we can really truly be a good witness in our community. So we just thank you, God, for this time together. In Yeshua's name, amen.